This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, it's hour number two. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up this hour. Then Pat Donovan is going to join us from WDAE down in Tampa. We'll get the latest on the Buccaneers, where they're at right now. Antonio Brown not on the team anymore, but that does have some football ramifications. Yeah, there's some off-the-field stuff that they obviously we're going to discuss about Antonio Brown, but where does Tom Brady go with the new receivers that he's going to have to work with Chris Godwin out and, of course, Antonio Brown, another player he's very familiar with out as well as they make another run towards a Super Bowl. So we'll get his thoughts on that. And the feeling within the organization, I really think that a lot of people that are taking shots at Bruce Arians for bringing Antonio Brown back to the organization, I think are warranted. I think that it is, I understand the pressure of being a NFL head coach and an organization. You want to win and you want to win badly. And you know, the evidence is that if you win, you can cover up a lot of sins of the players, right? You see it, we saw it with Michael Vick. I remember when Michael Vick was, coming out of jail and everyone was wondering, will he ever play in the NFL again? And I remember people saying, you don't really know the NFL if you don't think he's going to play again. If he can play, he'll play. And all of the PETA protests and all of the people screaming, they're going to be pushed aside because in the end, if he can help a team win, he's going to help a team win. Antonio Brown was like that. I mean, Brady came in and Brady liked him. And he, that time he spent in New England and he wanted him, he brought him in. And last year it worked. It really did. But then this year it didn't work. And there were so many problems. But yet the organization not only brought him back, but they stood by him and were proud of him and whatnot. And it's one thing then to say, because he took off his jersey and stormed off for whatever reason, injured ankle, not whatever it was. Now they're mad at him. Like, they weren't mad at him with the fake vaccination card. They weren't mad at him in a number of other things that he did prior to arriving to the Buccaneers. They're mad at him for that, right? They're mad at him for that. But as a team, where do they stand going into the playoffs? So we'll get his thoughts on that. But coming up next, the good, the bad, and the dumb on a Tuesday. Oh, and don't forget Top 5, Bottom 5 coming up in hour number 3. Tony D, Ron Culver. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb time as we get into a Tuesday. So let's get the good of the day.
This may not be good for everybody.
Right.
But I'm excited for it. Okay. And you probably are too. But after over 941 days, it's a long time, Tony.
Long time.
It looks like they might have a final finally have a return for Klay Thompson.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Adrian Wojnarowski was reporting that he could start this weekend against the series or against the game. I think it's either Saturday or Sunday against the Cavaliers. They'll make a final determination on Wednesday.
Man, that is amazing.
940, that's like 3 years.
I was going to say, we didn't see him. We saw him in the finals of 2019, right? And that
yeah.
was the last time we saw him.
Yep.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, that's why I say it's not maybe not good for everybody, but, I'm kind of excited to see him come back.
I watched the last half of the Miami Heat game last night against the Warriors on NBA TV. For personal reasons, quote unquote. guess who was doing the game on NBA TV last night?
I don't know.
Our good friend Spiro Dittus.
Was he really?
Yeah. It was.
He double dips?
He double dips. He was
nice.
Calling, I think he's the Knicks. Was the Knicks play-by-play. He was the Lakers play-by-play announcer for a while on radio, I think early in his career, and then was the Knicks guy. I think he might still be the Knicks radio guy.
Well, doesn't he have to prepare for?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
let me see.
Pick the game.
Who would it be this week? Maybe Saints, or no, maybe Washington football team Giants?
Maybe so.
Is that going to be his game this week?
It might be, right? Whatever. Whatever's last on the list. On
maybe
the CBS
Bears, Minnesota. Are they sending him up to the frozen north up in Minnesota?
The Warriors won that game last night, despite the fact that Steph Curry scored 9 points. It was abysmal shooting the basketball. So when they get Klay Thompson back, they're going to roll over everybody.
Yeah, they are.
You know what was really good last night when I was watching that game was Jordan Poole. I haven't really seen a lot of him play.
Haven't heard his name in forever.
He was good.
Michigan,
was good
right?
Last night. Yeah. It was good last night. Really good last night. But Jimmy Butler went out with an injury, so the Heat tried to make it of a game, but they didn't. All right, good for Klay Thompson.
I hope it all goes well. I hope that he gets the clearance on Wednesday. I mean, it's been far too long.
Yeah, because my life isn't complete unless the Warriors are dominating the NBA again. I just feel like it's just something's missing in my life. Yeah,
I mean, that's what it is. That's why there's no interest in the NBA. It's like,
through everybody.
God, you know, they miss the playoffs or they're a middle-of-the-road team.
What amazing.
Almost made it last year with, like, no one on their team.
What a serious tease that team is. Our run is kind of coming to an end. They're going to get Klay Thompson back.
But like
they're
going to
win, 15 in a row.
But like you so eloquently put, and I know it was a promo floating around here for a while, it's like they're getting a free agent mid-season.
Right. Exactly.
You know, it's like, I mean, it's just ridiculous.
It is. It is silly. They seriously are. They're getting a major. It's like a major free agent signing.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like. A major free agent signing where you go, how in the world could that team add that?
Yeah. What did they have to give up?
Right. Exactly. No, it was just a guy that had been hurt for a very long time.
Yeah. Just been someone who's been sitting on the bench.
God, that's great.
Nursing. Didn't he have an Achilles and an ACL?
Oh, yeah. You're right. He was completely messed up.
I think it was like the ACL first, and he was almost back, and then it was his Achilles or something, or vice versa, something like that.
Completely messed up.
God.
It stinks for everybody in the Western Conference. Just when you think like you're like rising up and you're going to catch a moment, here come the Warriors again to kill that dream. Thanks for playing Utah and Phoenix. Once Klay Thompson comes back.
Yeah, we'll finally, the West will be strong again.
Yeah, right.
We won't be questioning, like, who's going to come out on top of the West? That you already know.
Yep. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, the Harry Potter reunion show. Now, I have not seen this.
I haven't seen it either.
I am interested in seeing it because, you know, I do like, you know, watching actors, you know, the retrospective, you know, them looking back and going, you know, seeing them now talking about what it was like making these movies, especially when you have these guys are all young adults. Some are even like pushing 30 or getting close to 30 and they're looking back at their childhood. I mean, we watch all these kids grow up. But the reason why I brought them up in the bad, and HBO Max has vowed to make a change, was that when they were talking about Emma Watson, who played Hermione Granger, as we all know, they showed a photo of her as a young actress, and that was not her. It was.
Oh, really?
No, it was actually Emma Roberts.
How do you make these mistakes?
I don't know.
Were these mistakes going on when we were younger and we didn't have anybody noticing it?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Or is it just like
you know, maybe somebody was noticing it was Bob calling a TV station. It was like, we have no, we just carry it.
Or
we
is
don't
it,
care.
Is there just like the way newsrooms and other things and production rooms are now made where like shorter staffs where just these things get overlooked all the time?
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing.
I don't know how you make that kind of mistake. You know, for a production like this that. I don't know. I mean, I guess maybe as kids they kind of look similar.
I kind of find this world fascinating. So you're the parent of Daniel Radcliffe, right?
Yes.
And he wins the audition to be Harry Potter. And so the people who are making the movie are like, look, Radcliffe's, this woman wrote 8 books, 7 books, whatever it was. She goes, we're going to be making a lot of movies. So you better be committed to this thing. Because movie 2 or 3, we don't want to hear how little Daniel doesn't have a good childhood. He shows up to work every day for the rest of his life, practically, to make these movies. Like, how does that work? Like, how do you sign these kids to contracts? But isn't that like sort of like slavery for the kids? I mean, they're getting paid, but it's like the kids have no choice. They can't get out of the deal. And it's a deal they didn't sign.
Yeah, unless you die.
Right?
That was the only way, man. Because like, the only character that changed was Dumbledore. And,
okay, yeah, but like if you sign a contract to work for somebody for 10 years, right? That's up. You made a decision, so it's you know, if you don't like it after year two, too bad. You sign a deal. But like when you're a kid and mom and dad go, "Hey, look what we just did for you. So for the next 10, 11 years, you're going to be doing this," and you're like, "What? Well, I don't like it anymore."
And not only
too
that,
too bad. Mom and dad, we we're committed.
And none of that, you're going to probably have the most recognizable face on the planet.
Yeah, your life is never going to be different. Your life is never going to be the same.
That's why Daniel Radcliffe walks around with a beard and contacts, so no one can recognize him.
I know. It's like, it's weird. Like, it's one thing, again, child actors are child actors, don't get me wrong. This was like a childhood commitment.
Yeah.
It's not like being on a TV show that lasts like 2 or 3 years, right? Like, everyone who was involved in this project knew they were making every one of the movies.
No, that's why we have such strong affection for those kids, because it was like they were one of our kids, and we watched them grow up before us.
I know.
In front of our eyes.
It's nuts. You watch those marathons that, like, Sci-Fi Channel pops in, you're like, this kid has done nothing but, like, all of them. They've done nothing but this their whole life. And those movies take a long time to make, so the breaks were really short.
Yeah.
Before they were popping in a new
screenplay. They were filming one after the other because they have to, you got to keep them within age.
You got to keep them within age, right? So while you're doing one, they're working on the other. They're typing the screenplay, getting that approved, finding a director, maybe different, whatever it is, getting sets built. They had a whole, like, town that was dedicated to making those movies. And those kids, again, had no say in the matter whatsoever. They were committed from childhood to early adulthood making those movies because their parents said so. You know, I don't know. Like, seriously, what if Rupert Grint went, "I'm done. I'm out of here. Goodbye."
Like, but you fought your way into being Ron.
Right, exactly. It's like, nah, this isn't my life. I'm sick of these auditions. Sick of these late night screen readings.
Or what if he wanted to change his hair color?
Right, exactly. That's right.
What if he wanted something simple? Like, I just wanted to be, I wanted to go as, with brown hair today. You can't. Weasley.
You're a Weasley. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, there's this video that surfaced, right? And this could only be Australia. But there's a creature out there called a robber crab.
Oh, good Lord.
And this thing is gigantic. Anyway, some guys are on a golf course. A robber crab happened to perch on a guy's set of clubs. And when I say he's huge, I'm talking, he's on there, and he's literally covering, like, all the clubs in this guy's golf bag. He's finally able to get to a position where he's able to pull out the club that he is on, but it's literally, he pulls out three of them. And then this robber crab proceeds to snap his driver.
Like, with his claws?
Yeah. The guy was trying to get it away. Like, he was wiggling it back and forth, trying to get him to loosen his grip. Robber crab said no, sticking to his name, Robber. And the club just snapped.
Unbelievable. What is Australia land of the lost?
I mean, it has to be.
Like, is that what, like, all of those, like, gigantic spiders and crabs and, like, when you saw that TV show and they were like, oh my God, look, it's a gigantic turtle.
This is where they got the idea.
Yeah, from Australia.
From Australia.
I was watching a video not that long ago. It was like a guy was talking about some of the dangerous creatures in the ocean. I was like, oh, this is kind of interesting. And they were talking about, like, a couple of creatures where, like, if you touch the creature in the ocean, it gives you a searing pain that practically paralyzes you and you need first aid immediately.
Yes.
And then the guy goes, and they could be found off the coast of Australia. And I go, oh. And then they did another one and he goes, and that can be found off the coast of Australia. And I go, okay, I'm seeing a trend here. There is a plant that if you touch it, you'll die within 30 minutes if you don't get the antidote. It's super poison. And it's painful. Like, it's a painful death. It's Australian. Like, what is going on that island? Is it the island evolution forgot? What's going on there? Or evolution is exponential? What is happening there?
Yeah, it might be, maybe things are evolving faster in Australia. Maybe,
yeah,
maybe
that's something. Like, oh, you think you'll pick me and eat me? No, you won't. I'm developing a toxic poison right as we speak. Go ahead. Try me, Buster. Try me. Where our plants here are like, I can't fight back. I'm trying, but there's nothing I can do.
I don't.
And the Australian plants are like, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And, you start know, evolving.
The thing that bothers me is everyone seems to be fine with it, too.
I know.
You know, all Australians are like, yeah, you know, there's a million things out there that could kill you.
Yeah, look at that. It's this spider. It's so big. Look at this. It's like a pet. I'm going to put a leash on it, take it for a walk. It's gigantic. It's like, that looks like a dog. Yeah, I know. It's got 8 legs,
thing,
though.
It's prehistoric. I'll give you that.
Exactly.
Maybe, you know, does Australia look at us and go, well, you guys have, you know, big bears and...
Maybe so. Maybe you're right. You're right. They may be sitting.
You know,
going,
and you guys have
I'd
like,
rather live here than America. Where...
Well, I would say that you know we have giant alligators, but they got crocodiles. We all
they
saw Crocodile Dundee.
Crocodiles are worse.
Yeah,
an alligator will sit on the edge of a bank and go, "Hi, just leave me alone." A crocodile will go, "You look very tasty."
You know, an alligator will look at a croc and go, "Hey, let me know when it's time to go swimming."
Yeah,
when you're done.
Exactly. Exactly. Like I said, with alligators, I wouldn't have sent my kid to a school where alligators freely walk around if they were dangerous. Like, I seriously, I walk around that campus and I go, that's an alligator. They go, yeah, it's alligator Sam. Don't worry about it. He's fine. I go, what do you mean he's fine? But if it was a crocodile, oh, he'd eat us all up. That's what's in Australia. Good Lord. Makes me want to go, though, just to check it out.
Yeah, right? I don't want to go to Sydney. I've seen cities.
Take me, Paul Hogan, into the outback.
I want to go way out there. Show me something that could kill me from a good safe distance.
Yeah, exactly. Show me the lizards that's 45 feet in length.
I mean, wasn't it when we were growing up, they had like rabid dogs that steal kids in the night?
Yeah.
Wasn't that
yeah.
in Australia?
That was, okay. Yeah. What were they called?
I don't know.
Dingoes? Australia, man. Good luck. All right, that's the good, the bad, and the dumb. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. I just saw that video of the robber crab there. it was so scary. Again, Australia, man. What are you going to do? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I was telling you about that killer plant that's down there, too. It's called the Gimpy plant. It's got one of those fancy names, but they kind of nickname it the Gimpy plant.
Because it makes you a gimp?
Yeah. basically, it's in Queensland, mostly in Queensland. And if you touch it, this one woman who touched it said, being stung is the worst kind of pain you can imagine. Like being burnt with hot acid and electrocuted at the same time. God. Right?
That sounds pleasant.
Oh, unreal. Like, I'm going to tell you something. That doesn't sound like something you would make up unless it was true.
Yeah. I mean, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like Australia went, poison ivy, hold our beers.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm telling you.
You got an itch now because you touched a plant? That's nothing.
This is crazy. Like, this thing, like, old, they talk about the history of it, how, like, old explorers just didn't know what it was and were, like, using it for, you know.
Toilet paper.
Ugh. And just dying. God.
Can you imagine?
Like, seriously. Remember I made that, you know, we were having that conversation about, like, the early humans, like, the first one that, like, ate a berry that was poisonous. And
yeah.
Like, hey, look at Jim. Don't eat that. Jim just died.
Yep.
Like, same thing with these plants, right?
No, you had to learn.
Like, somebody had to be the sacrificial lamb to know that the gimpy plant in Australia burns you like acid and electrocuted you at the same time.
I mean, yeah, that just, ha.
Oh.
That's all I can say is ha.
God. It's so bad. But again, that's what evolution is, an advanced stage. And that's where the plants are coming for us next, here in the good old U.S.
Yeah, you know, we don't need that. You don't need to bring that species of plant over here.
No, we don't.
Shouldn't that be extinct by now? I feel like that plant
should
have been just around with the dinosaurs.
I'm telling you, man, that video I was telling you about the ocean, that was scary stuff, man. That stuff down at the bottom of the ocean is no joke. Some of the scariest stuff is down there.
Oh, yeah.
Do not mess around
with
the ocean.
And we don't even know what's down there.
Yeah. Like, I always thought, you know, and this is going to – here's my nerdom coming out. But I always thought, like, Aquaman, the DC comic Aquaman, And I didn't see the movie because I heard it was not good, so I didn't see it. But I, when I was a kid growing up, I watched Super Friends, and it was always like Aquaman was like, he had this blonde hair and this orange suit, and
yep,
he was like,
tights.
He was riding seahorses, and he would call the dolphins and the whales. But like a real Aquaman, if he could really like, if he could sum up the giant squids and some of the darker,
the Kraken,
like there would be like a darkness to that, because the ocean. You know, when you think of the ocean, sometimes you think of a Caribbean ocean, blue ocean, beautiful. And then the other times you think of, like, what's down at the bottom of the North Atlantic, right? Just swimming there, just waiting. It's kind of scary. So Australia, they got sea creatures that will kill you, plants that will kill you, and robber crabs that will just snap the driver head off.
Stick it to their name.
Exactly.
Robber, you just stole the man's driver.
Exactly. Oh, my God. You've kind of creeped me out now with that video.
Well, I mean, just, you know, if you go to Australia, don't bring your clubs.
Don't, yeah, exactly. Don't go down there.
And hazmat suit or bubble. Be a bubble boy.
So Pat Donovan's going to join us from WDAE in just a couple of minutes. And I wanted to talk to you about this because, you know, I'm going to ask him about Bruce Arians. And I kind of feel like Bruce Arians was, that answer that he gave kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
Like Sunday, like the more I thought about it, when he was like, no, he's off. He's no longer a Buck. Let's talk about the people that were. No. Let's talk about him and you. Like, remember, like, why didn't they cut him for the fake vaccination card? Like, why didn't they? Like, why didn't they say, that's enough. We told you one shot. That was it. You faked vaccination card. No, you're not on this team anymore. That's a federal crime. Like, you can't do that. So, we're done. Goodbye. Like, why didn't they? Because he was productive as a football player, and now that he storms off, you can't trust him anymore, so now you get to just dispose of him, right? And make you guys look like a good organization for cutting ties with a guy that would do such a thing. You brought him back after he had a fake vaccination card, went out and got a fake vaccination card. You brought him back, and you said, he's on our team. He's part of this organization. And then the moment there's an altercation, where we really don't know the full story yet, right? Did Bruce Arians try to put him back out on the field with an injury that he didn't want to go out? Is that the reason?
But did he look like he had an injury? I mean, he's bouncing in the end zone as he's walking off the field.
Absolutely. Didn't look like he was hurt. But nevertheless, that's the last straw? Like, why wasn't the last straw before? Why wasn't the last straw all of the accusations that were made against him before he even signed with the Buccaneers?
I almost get the feeling that Bruce Arians never really wanted Antonio Brown.
Right.
That this was like, well, Tom Brady wants him. Let's give it to Tom Brady.
I don't understand why the organization, once they had Brady under contract, said, yeah, I'm sorry, we're not bringing your buddy who's got a bunch of legal problems. You know, like, you want to quit? Quit. But we're not. We're not doing that for you.
We brought Gronk in for you.
We brought Gronk in for you.
Out of retirement.
But this guy, no. And you're not going to just bring in everybody that you have. Like, this is not how this is going to work, Tom. Like, thanks for coming down here, but we're not bringing in a guy that's been accused of rape, been accused of, like, he was throwing furniture out of a 14-story condo.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, all of the legal problems they did, the reason he was suspended by the league, and just because Brady said yes, they did it. Now, don't get me wrong. I know you don't want to tick Brady off. He chose you of all the teams that wanted him. I mean, there's probably some feeling of gratitude. I get it. But at the same time, couldn't you have a reasonable conversation with Tom going, look, Tom, we can't. We can't. I know he's a good, you know, he's a friend. You like him a lot, but we just can't. Like anybody else, please. Anybody else that we can bring for you, we will. But not him. Not him. But, you know, like I said, they give him one chance. He blows that one chance. And they go, don't worry about it. No. That's not serious. Don't worry about it. And then he blows up on the sidelines and he leaves. And they act like they're now noble. Like now, we're an organization that won't tolerate that kind of behavior. Really? Fake vaccination cards? That was okay? That was okay. The league suspended him for that. And you went, nope, don't worry about it. When you're done with that nasty old suspension, you come right here home, man. You come right here into the loving arms of the Buccaneer family. Like, Bruce Arians is on the hook for this a bit. I'm sorry. He kind of is. We'll talk to Pat Donovan next from WDAE about that and where the Buccaneers are heading with one game left and a postseason to be conquered. That's next on Wake Up Call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, let's go to the Progressive guest line. Progressive making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Our good friend Pat Donovan, WDAE, great station down in Tampa, joining us. How are you, my friend?
I am well. How are you, Tony?
I'm good. Happy New Year to you, my friend.
Happy New Year.
Antonio Brown, I want to go back to the vaccination card suspension. They welcomed him back. Should they have done that? What was the feeling in Tampa about that particular incident?
Well, should they have done that? I guess the reality is, when you look back now, the answer is probably no. But I wouldn't have kicked him off the team either. I think what he did was incredibly stupid, even though I've admitted on my show and caught a lot of flack for it that I kind of considered the same thing. Like, when I found out that it was a crime and some of these things, I said, okay, I'm not gonna screw around. But there was a split second where I thought, hey, I don't know if I want to go get this vaccine. Maybe it is easier to just go get a fake card, right?
Yeah.
So, like, as much as Antonio Brown's been a loon for a long time, that situation to me wasn't one where I just would have cut ties. Looking back again, probably should have. Wouldn't have dealt with Sunday, but I wouldn't have either, if we're being honest.
Yeah, Bruce Arians is getting a little bit of flack for this. There was a feeling like there was a line in the sand, and then he moved the line in the sand. Is that an accurate way to portray that?
I think for a lot of people it is. I think that some people understand that you're always going to do what's best for your football team if you're a guy like Bruce Arians. And the reality is, for a long time, that was keeping Antonio Brown here. And it's very easy, you know, in revisionist history, or just to say, hey, you said one time, and some people asked him that, you know, and he's like, well, history has changed. And I don't know if that, for me, is necessarily true, just because the guy kind of stayed out of trouble for about a year. But the reality is, I think that when he said if he screws up, he's gone, it meant something like Sunday, or something with some insubordination, or something off the field that was criminal. And as much as the fake vaccine card was stupid, and maybe there's something you could charge the guy, with a crime for, I think we're looking for some of the other things that he had been accused for, something that was a lot more serious than what had happened, which is, again, why I said I personally wouldn't have cut him, and I wasn't a fan of bringing him in the first place.
There is a lot of conversation about, did he quit or did the Bucs cut him? Do we have any clarification on what exactly was the official termination designation of Antonio Brown?
Technically, I don't believe he's actually been cut as of yet, right? But listen, regardless of exactly how it went down, the reality is the Bucs wanted him to go back on the football field. He didn't want to. And at some point, it was like, okay, get off the field. I don't think, and Bruce Arians has not certainly said that he told him right there on the field, you're no longer on the team. I think he just said, look, if you don't want to get in, then get out. But get out, he probably meant back to the locker room, not take your shirt off and go find an Uber. But let's, you know, Antonio Brown and a lot of crazy people, right? They take things to the extreme, and that's what he did on Sunday.
It's funny because I'm a Steeler fan, and I remember when Mike Tomlin told him in practice, please leave, and he thought that meant permanently and didn't show up for the final game of the season.
And exactly.
They all were waiting for him to come back the next day. And Tomlin was like, I just wanted him to leave today. I didn't mean he was to just completely disappear from the organization.
Unreal.
But now there is a feeling. We talked about this yesterday. Like, look, it's easy to kind of jump all over him, but there has been a little bit of restraint from people going, you know, I kind of seen some of this in my own personal life with people I know. There might be some help that he needs. Is that the prevailing feeling from the organization, that maybe, just maybe, this guy needs some secondary help here, like real mental help?
Oh, certainly from the organization, right? And I think for most people, I think even those of us, and I put myself in this category, right, because I'll raise my hand. I shared the picture of him jumping across the field and said, hey, this is, you know, when you find out the Pat and Aaron show is going back to its regular time slot the first of the year, right?
Yeah.
And I, you know, so like I shared the funny memes and stuff too. And I think sometimes, you know, we're at a point in society that we think it's not okay to acknowledge that sometimes things that are very sad are also sometimes very funny. But that's the case with Antonio Brown. So we can all laugh at the situation and share the memes and talk about how he's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. But at the same time, we can also have some compassion and go, you know what? Clearly somebody who's got their bleep together doesn't do what Antonio Brown did on Sunday. And, yeah, it's funny, and he's a loon, but I also hope he gets the help he needs because we understand that, you know, people do deal with a lot of mental health issues in this country, and we'd certainly rather see them get that help than not get the help because we know so many times how badly it goes one way or another when people don't.
I saw it in Denver. When I covered the Broncos, Brandon Marshall was a problem all the time. He was slipping on McDonald's bags, and it said he injured his hand going through a television screen, and Jay Cutler had problems with him. But then he later admitted, hey, I was dealing with some psychological disorders that I needed to take control over, and now he's even coming out and saying, please, somebody reach out and give him a hand. I hope that's the case.
You know what? Sorry to cut you off, but he's such a great guy to bring up in Brandon Marshall, right?
Because right.
To your point, right? A guy who got in so much trouble, had so many issues, had trouble really controlling his emotions and who he was as a human being. But you see, as he's figured things out, who he is an exceptional human being.
Sure,
right?
He's
a great guy. So sometimes behind all of these things that mental health turns us into, there's an exceptional human being in there. And I'm so glad we've got to see that with Brandon Marshall, and that's why I do think it's so important that people get that help so that we can find these people that are inside what looks like an absolute lunatic, right?
Yeah, so the football aspect of this, though, is that Brady loses a receiver he's comfortable with. What does his wide receiving core look like now and some of the new names that he's going to have to throw to? Because, as we mentioned earlier, Godwin is out.
Yeah, exactly, right? Godwin done for the year. And I think, you know, losing Antonio Brown, I thought without Chris Godwin, as important as he was to this offense, still having Antonio Brown, getting Mike Evans back as they did on Sunday, still thought this team had a shot. I thought it went from, you know, they had a good chance to repeat to maybe unlikely when Chris Godwin went out. And I think when Antonio Brown lost his mind on Sunday, it went from unlikely to very unlikely. Listen, I love what we've seen from Cyril Grayson. He kind of became the other story on Sunday, making some big plays, including the game-winning touchdown late in that game. But it's interesting to see, you know, Cyril Grayson getting the opportunity that he has, even though I love watching the young man and take advantage of the opportunity that he's being given right now, or a Breshad Perriman, right, be brought back and kind of being thrust into action as quickly as he did. And seeing a couple guys that I really thought could be a big part of this football team, and Scotty Miller, who's been almost non-existent this season after making a couple of the biggest plays for this football team last year. And then Tyler Johnson, who I still think can probably be, with Antonio Brown no longer a Buccaneer, the third best receiver on this football team. I think he doesn't have elite speed, but despite a big drop on Sunday, he's made some big catches for this team. I really love his hands. And I think he can develop into a very good NFL receiver. So they've got some guys, but they've gone from having a handful of superstars and some guys to having some guys. And is that enough?
Yeah.
We're going to find out in the playoffs for sure.
How is this team playing? I mean, they've won 6 out of 7, but there is this 9-0, you know, kind of sort of anomaly that's in the mix there. But overall, how are they playing with one game left?
Yeah, they're kind of playing, I guess, okay for the Buccaneers, right? They're not playing great football by any means. You don't get shut out by a team that isn't likely going to make the playoffs if you're playing great football, right? But they're playing okay. This year has really been one of those years that kind of highlights how difficult it is to repeat in this league. And, you know, the amount of injuries that they've had on both sides of the football have been staggering. And they're just, you know, they're kind of figuring it out. And as much as Devin White has looked like a special young football player early in his career, boy, do you notice when he doesn't have Lavonte David next to him. You know, this past weekend, you're without both of your outside pass rushing linebackers and Jason Pierre-Paul and Shaq Barrett. You're without Leonard Fournette, who's become such a big part of this offense. So they really are up against it with as many injuries as they have. If they can get, I guess, as healthy as possible, kind of everyone back but Chris Godwin and now Antonio Brown, you'd say it's hard to rule out Tom Brady, right?
Yeah.
But they're really in tough shape right now, from the injuries to some of the inconsistent play. They're not the football team they were a year ago. And if they do it, as much as last year had all these obstacles that made it seem next to impossible, Brady's first year and, you know, with a new team and a new offense, all the things that went wrong, he had a knee injury, all the obstacles that made last year as unlikely as it was, it might be a more special run and more unlikely if they do it again this year.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know what was amazing? Last night I was watching the game with the Steelers, and I'm watching Ben Roethlisberger, 18 seasons in this league, and I looked at a guy that had, you know, was, you could tell football, he had, you know, he had given everything to football and didn't have anything left, right? 18 years, just older player that's declining skills. And I thought to myself, when this guy entered this league in his rookie season, Brady was en route to his third Super Bowl, and this year he's nearly 5,000 yards and 40 touchdowns. Like, yeah, I just watched the ending of a complete career in this league, and yet there's still a guy that's still going strong who was winning before this guy arrived and is now is continuing to win after this guy leaves.
It's beyond unthinkable.
It really is unthinkable. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, if you'd asked me 10 years ago, I'd be like, come on, man, the guy's really good, but stop it. Right? Like, stop. Right. If you'd asked me 10 years ago, I'd be like, come on, bro. Like, let's not throw out stupid stuff on the radio just because we got to fill time. Of course, he's not going to be doing that at 44 years, but he's doing it. And I have no idea how. And you're right. When you look at Ben Roethlisberger, a shell of himself. Eli Manning, not that he was a great quarterback, but at the end of his career, same thing, right? The shell of himself, so many guys. And then here's Tom Brady. And, you know, not only is he doing the things that he's doing, but just the last 2 years, I don't know where we're at now. I saw the stat a couple, like 3-4 weeks ago, and it was 50 touchdowns, zero interceptions in the red zone since becoming a Tampa Bay Buccaneer.
Oh,
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where the touchdown number is at this very moment, but I know the interception number is still at zero. Zero interceptions in two seasons in an offense, by the way, right, that really is predicated on being aggressive a lot of times and throwing the football. It's not like they get inside the red zone and they just start handing the ball off. No, the guy's got almost 60 touchdowns and zero interceptions in 2 years as a quarterback at any age. At any age, that's absurd. At this age, on a new football team and a new offense, I actually asked him, Tony, earlier this season, I asked him to confirm whether or not he's a human being, and I'll tell you today, he wouldn't do it.
That's awesome. Matt, always good talking to you, my friend. We'll catch up down the road, especially in the postseason, my friend. Thank you, as always.
You got it, man.
WDAE, that's Pat Donovan on a Progressive Guest Line. All right, come back. The thought about what we were just talking about, you know, putting this, the context of what Brady's doing and what we saw last night with Ben Roethlisberger, that's coming up next on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
This hour of Wake Up Call presented by Rocket Mortgage. You need a mortgage to fit your life? Rocket can. So, we just completed 16 games, right? So we just had what most of us have experienced as a normal season. In fact, all of us, a normal season. And Tom Brady finishes at least the first 16 with 4,990 yards and 40 touchdowns. And good old Ben Roethlisberger wrapped up his career last night, or is getting ready to wrap up his career at the end of next week if they don't make the playoffs. And as I was telling Pat, you watched a guy last night that has no gas in the tank left. None. Right? None. He's not going to take Nugenix and be able to chuck it all over the place next year. He's done. He's physically given everything to this game. He has been injured beyond belief, and he has played 18 seasons, some really, really tough years where he's been had a shoulder injury, knee injury, you name it, he's had it. And it's over. Like his career is going to be over. And Brady is still chugging along at 44 years old. And as I was saying to Pat, Roethlisberger's rookie season, 2004, they went 15-1, but they lost to the Patriots in the AFC title game. And New England went on to Jacksonville to play the Philadelphia Eagles in Super Bowl 39, where Brady and the Patriots won their third Super Bowl. So the when you talked last night, when they talked about how long Roethlisberger's career was, Brady had three championships in the books at the end of Roethlisberger's rookie year, had already gotten that out of the way, and now is still going strong on the back end. It's really, really remarkable. I know we talk about it a lot, but it's really remarkable. But there's one difference between the two. Last night, if you watched last night's game, you saw a rarity in the NFL. You saw a fan base getting to say goodbye. That doesn't happen in this league very often. Guys usually don't announce their retirement until after the season is over, where they've had time to think about it. Some want to go a little bit longer. Maybe they can sign a one-year deal just to stay in the league one more time. Most quarterbacks know that, don't realize they're done until they sit down and process the season that they just had. Do they have it in them again to go back? Quarterbacks, especially veteran stars, can have it a little easier in camp, a little easier in preseason, a little easier during the week. So some of them go, I probably can do this one more time.
Now, he hasn't officially announced, right?
No, he hasn't.
But I mean,
but he did it so that he could get last night.
Yeah.
Right? We always talk about Jeter. Like, there is no last at bat for a lot of NFL players. We don't get to do that. Think about this. Patriot fans didn't get to say goodbye to Brady properly. His last thing he did was throwing a pick six. That was the last thing he did. He had to be on another team before they had the ceremony, the feeling of finality. What Ben got last night, you don't get to see. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to get to see it in Green Bay. Speaking of which, we'll talk to Bill Huber, Packer Report, coming up next hour. We also have our top five, bottom five as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.